Right. Look at chapter 3. Read a verse here. You know, we talked about, we're going to do a few different studies on being conformed unto his death. And I don't know if it'll make you sad or glad, but I think it's going to be short again. So however it works out, just give the glory to God and take it for however God means to be. But in Philippians chapter 3, in begin at verse number 7, reread what we looked at on Sunday. But it says, But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. If you ever memorize a book in the Bible, this would be a good book to memorize. You know, he said, I can never memorize a book of the Bible. When's the last time you tried? Amen. Verse 9, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So the next however long we'll be looking at being conformable unto the death of Christ. And John chapter 3, what we're going to look at tonight, be conformed to his image of giving. Conformed to his image of giving. As we think about conformed to his death, the death of Christ was one of the greatest acts of giving that the world will ever know. And though this, I anticipate, based on what I have here, is not going to be very long, the thoughts and the meditations on the giving of God, it really is inexhaustible. There's no way ever to really completely do justice to that. And I encourage you to meditate on this passage for some time after that in days to come. But my Father tonight, for some reason, you've ordered this particular way. And so, Lord, help me just let the trust be in you. And I pray and I look forward to your Holy Spirit making application into the lives of all the hearers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. John chapter 3, of course, no doubt, a familiar verse of Scripture. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His death was a gift of his only begotten. If we think about the death that we want to be conformed to, and when God gave his Son, it wasn't that he just gave some light gift, you know. One of the things that happens as with the holidays is there will be many, many trivial gifts that will be given just because of expectation and just because of obligation. And there will be many gifts given to people that will not be heartfelt, that will not be thought out. And just because they're so busy and they have to get it done. But the gifts that will really mean the most were the gifts that people know there's some time and thought and some care put into the giving. So, and there again, I'm not pushing for the gifts. I'm making an illustration of what's going to happen. Because of obligation, some feel like they should give something. And so they're going to give something. And I remember being in a store. This time of year, it's amazing. You go to the store, and you know what the sad thing is about this time of year? You go to the store, and some of the most miserable people you're going to meet are people that are shopping for gifts. Now, that really doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, you go in the store and some guy's trying to find a gift for somebody and he's griping and he's whining, he's complaining, you know, by giving gifts. And I'm thinking, well, no, what are you giving for? Man, just don't give it. You know, it'd be better not to give it than it would be all murmuring and complaining about it. You know, I was somewhere in the store one time, and you know me, I'm kind of outspoken occasionally. Some guy was complaining about something in the store, and I made some comment. I said, just have some joy about it, man. But don't do it, you know. Because if you're being compelled into doing something, don't do it anyway. You know, be led of the Lord. If you don't want to give the gift, be man enough and just don't give the gift and take the consequences with it than just to do something because you feel like you're compelled to do something. Now, but see, our God is not like that. See, when I shop for gifts, I like shopping for gifts. Whatever the occasion may be. if I'm giving somebody anything, I go. Sometimes I get up late. Stay up late, get up early, look around, trying to think, and try to come up with the thing that, okay, that's what they want, you know. And it's difficult sometimes, but still, I like doing it. Now, it wasn't always that way. Because that was one of those, I was a reactionary years ago to the holiday. Well, you know, they expect me to do something. So I was one of those miserable people. I know what it's like to be in this world. Well, I got to give some, or they're going to be mad at me. And finally, I started realizing, you know what? I love these people. It don't matter. Forget about the holiday, but you know what? I can do something nice for somebody. Let's just remove what time of year it is. And let me just, if I have the ability, I would like to be a blessing. And God created everybody in this room. And He loved the world. And He recognized the world was in trouble because of their own sin. And the root of everybody's sin is selfishness. Because we want our own way. And so God, to combat our selfishness, He said, I'm going to give. I'm going to do just the opposite. And I'm not just going to give anything. I'm going to give the most valuable thing in existence. My one and only begotten Son. He thought it over. Measured it out. Most precious thing. What will show them how much I really, really, really treasure. You know, I bought my wife some shoes for her birthday. And she really, really liked them. You know why? Because she knew I didn't like them. and she knew, and I really didn't dislike them that much, but she knows I have a particular taste or whatever. And so, but she knew that I bought them because I loved her and they would bring her great joy. And she was so surprised that I got them. Because I thought about what I could get her, and I listened to her describe the shoes, and I kind of act like they didn't mean nothing to me, you know. And so I waited for the appropriate moment to go shopping for them, you know. And I knew, I thought of different things I could get her, but I knew this was the gift. Because I knew she would be totally, totally amazed. And they weren't cheap, but she'd worth it, you know. And I was glad to be able to do it. And God, I mean, one of the things people don't understand in the world, lost people, when you're destroying your bodies by your own way, is you're not cheap. God didn't think you were cheap anything. He values you. He thinks highly of you. And so he wants you to know that your life means something. So He's bought you back. He gave something precious to establish your self-worth. I mean, if you think about that, you know, I mean, what establishes the worth of something? Well, it's the price that's paid for it. You know, you can go to the store and eat. You know what's funny about advertising? I don't really like shopping in Yorkdale Mall because I don't own the if I ever buy anything from Yorkdale Mall, it's something from the food court because that's about what I can afford there. But there's stores there that some people never heard of. But you go in the store and you see this a shirt that really, if you held it, if you took the labels off and you held it in your hands, just like a shirt at Walmart, you wouldn't be able to feel a difference in the material. But one shirt says $14, and the other shirt says $65. And it's got a different name than Walmart, and you think all of a sudden this is worth something. This guy, number one, it's in Yorkdale Mall. It's not in Walmart. And the price kind of makes you think that this must be something important. This must be something of value. And God so loved the world that He set a price on your soul of inexhaustible value, and He gave that price willingly, because the Bible says He didn't just love, He so loved. And He gave because He so loved.
And if Christian people could only get their value from that gift of God, I mean, we would have all these emotional hangups we have up. We wouldn't have all these desires to try to make ourselves into somebody or pretend to be somebody. Or we would just realize, wow, you know what? I'm so valuable. God gave His only begotten Son. Nobody else would pay a price like that for me. And He so loved. He so loved that He gave. Not His, it wasn't one of many sons. It was His only begotten Son. The Bible says, what should a profit man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, we know what God gave in exchange for your soul and my soul. He gave His only begotten Son. So if you heaped up all the millions of dollars in the world, billions, trillions, whatever the number would come out to, God gave more. Gave His Son. That was part of His death. That's the image that God wants us to be conformed to. That we would so love the world. That whatever we esteem of most valuable, most valued in the world, we say no to it for the sake of someone being saved for an eternity. That's the image that we need to be conforming to. God held back nothing. He didn't say, you know what, I think I slaughtered a few rats in the corner for the world. And you know what, if He'd have did that, He'd have been right. I mean, if that was God's choice, you know, if he wrote the Word of God and said, I'm going to sacrifice some rats and that pays for the sins of the whole world, He'd still been right. But no, he set a mark. Again, you have to know the value of us. He said, my only begotten Son. I want them to know forever that they weren't some light, cheap creation. I want them to understand. When I said they were fearfully and wonderfully made, I want them to understand that I paid the price so high so they would know that those are not cheap words that I said. Okay, anybody, you know, just like, you know, anybody can say, I love you. But you know they love you when they sacrifice themselves. And my wife was so sick. I mean, she raved about the children because they sacrificed themselves to take care of her when she was sick. And they gave, and they gave, and they were, when they didn't feel like giving. And they labored, and they helped when they didn't want to help. Their love was greater than their want. And they did those things which God had them to do. But the image of death that God, that Paul was looking for when he said that I'm going to know Him. I'm going to know Jesus Christ. I want to know God the Father, because they're one. And he said, I'm counting all things with loss, because you know what? A love so great that would give such great sacrifice. He said, I must know that. And anything in this world that could interfere with that love or cause me not to understand that love, man, that is dung. I got to win Christ. Second thing, very simply, he's looking at Isaiah chapter 50, and he's, like I said, we're almost done. Like I said, it's simple, but I hope you get the message tonight. Not only did he confirm, he being conformed to his giving, his death was a gift of his only begotten, and referring to the person of Christ, his death was a gift of his own back. His death was a gift of his own back. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter number 50. We'll start reading in verse number 5 of Isaiah chapter 50. It says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. Just, we see right now, if you think about how God would call you to love the world, we got a choice to make. Are we going to be rebellious, or are we going to really hear what God's calling us? Call the type of Christianity God is really calling us to. He says, neither turned away my back. He said, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. So since God exists as we understand, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we understand that He gave the only begotten, but as the Son of God Himself, He gave it back. He willingly gave Himself unto that suffering. He willingly made that sacrifice. And when He understood the Father's will, when the Father opened His ear and explained to Him the value that He had for His creation, and how He was going to establish that value for all eternity, the Son of God said, "Yes, I will give my back. Not for glory, not exaltation, not for an earthly victory. I'm going to give my back to the smiters. I'm going to give my back to be beaten. I'm going to give my back to be bruised. I'm going to give my body to be broken. I'm going to give. I'm going to give. Because that is what it's going to take for me to die so that man might live. Okay, so I'm going to give that." He didn't hide. And He gave His cheeks also, it says. Then it plucked off there. He didn't, again, as an entity able to make a choice, He said, "I'm giving my back." The Father gave away His Son. The Son gave away Himself to death. And because no, and it makes sense, you know why? Because He said, "I and the Father are one." So that means Jesus had the same love for us that the Father does. And He had the same value for you and me that the Father does. And so He gave His back, and guess what He wants of His servants? To have the same value for the world that He and His Father do. That they would give their most precious thing that's part of them for the sake of the world. And it need that they even give their own back, give their own body. The Bible says He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He said, "For even the Son of Man came not to ministry, be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." That's the giving. That's the part of death that we need to be conformed to. Because God is a giving God. And His servants ought to be giving. In every way that we possibly can be. We ought to give ourselves, give our lives, we ought to give the truth. Why? Because that's where the power is. The Word of God is what makes a difference. You know, because that Word of God is what will actually help people, what will change people, what will conform people to the image of Christ. And Paul, so enamored with this giving of God, because this death took giving. He said, "That's what I want. That's part of the knowledge that I want to be conformed to." And he said, "You know what? Whatever it takes to have that, there's nothing that has more value than that." As we read in Philippians again, now I want you to read, as we read Philippians, I want you to think about it in light of what we looked at so far. If you think about the knowledge that Paul is pursuing here. Philippians chapter 3, he said again, "But what things were gained to me?" He has some earthly victory, some earthly status, some earthly identity, if you will. Those are considered gain. Earthly titles, considered gain. He said, "No, I count it loss." He said, it's non-existent for Christ. Why? "Yea, doubtless." He said, this isn't some flighty decision for Paul. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't get it on some emotional kick. And he said, "This isn't some emotional thing." He said, "No, yea, doubtless. This is a clear, conscious decision of mine that I want this. This isn't some, I hadn't been moved by anybody. I hadn't read some great story about anybody. This is doubtless what I want for me. And I count all things," didn't say most things, "but all things, the loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss." Again, I've allowed the loss of all things. Paul said, "I could have had things, but I allowed it all just to go." and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. How's he going to win? Well, in being found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Why? Why all this? That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. So I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. You boys, like I said, I've talked to boys different times about doing some different moving jobs, and they understand what it's like now. I mean, we were carrying these big, huge pieces of furniture. I mean, it's from people from India, and a lot of the Indian furniture is huge, big with pieces. We're going up these winding staircases, and just the grace of God holds us together. I mean, praise God, we didn't get hurt doing some of this stuff, you know. But we had the fellowship of sufferings, you know. But Paul, he said, I want that fellowship. I want that fellowship. Paul said, you know what? I honestly want to understand what it was like when Jesus was hated. Because he did that for me. I want to understand what it was like. You know what Jesus said? The prophet is not without honor, but his own country, his own kin. He said, Christ's own brothers and sisters and family didn't even receive him and didn't really think much of his purpose for God. I want to know what that's like. I want that fellowship of that suffering. Paul said, you know what? I want to know what it's like for the one day people cry, Hosanna! Hosanna! And the next day say, crucify him. Crucify him. Paul said, you know what? I want to know what that fellowship was like when they beat him on his back and they mocked him for love. Because if he had never loved, he would have never been here to be beaten. I was reading through Exodus. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is when God comes to Moses and he speaks to Moses. He said, you know what? He said, Moses, stand aside, that I may consume them in a moment. And he said, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. And Moses said, no. He said, Lord, if you do that, they're going to say that it was because you could not deliver them that you destroyed them. Moses was so consumed with the name of God that he wanted God to be exalted at all costs. Even when it could, if you were to think about that, you know, Moses could say, I'm with you, Lord. He said, Lord, I'm tired of fooling with them too. Why don't you go ahead and do that, and I'll be glad you make a great nation of me. And if he did that, he'd have been in the promised land. But because of his love, and him loving like God, he lived long enough to be in a situation where he would make a mistake against God and not be able to walk into the promised land. But thank God for his heart. His fellowship. He fellowshiped. He understood it like we murmured against. Like God was murmured against. Paul would say, you know what, that fellowship. He said, other than being known as the greatest Pharisee, I want to know what it's like to be mocked. To be despised and rejected of men. Because, man, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I mean, he had it together. I mean, he didn't convert to Christ like because he had nothing better to do. Man, in the eyes of the religious professional world, he had everything. I mean, he had everything that would establish him and give him glory and virtue. And he said, no, I've got it all but done. Then why? So the fellowship of his sufferings, and I want all of this to take place. I want all of this to happen in my life for one reason. That my life will be conformable unto his death. Can't be exactly like it, but I want my life to be conformable unto his death. So he said, I want all these things to happen to me. I want to know him. I want to know the power of the resurrection. And I want to fellowship with his suffering so that my life will be conformable to the way that God and his Son gave. And to have that, I count all things for loss and anything else done. because Paul understood what it took to save him. And he did not count the price for his own soul very cheap. And God help us not to as well. So when we leave this place tonight, and we think about the world, let's ask God to conform us to the image, make us conformable unto His death, that we will give as God would have us to be used by Him, so that people have the greatest opportunity to come to Christ. Because we can only give the opportunity. Because nobody could do more for souls than Jesus did, but people still say no. But we can give them the greatest opportunity if we give like we want them to. Because if you look in the Bible, the people that were the most like Christ were the people that faced the most rejection. You got Stephen. You got Paul. People stand up the most. But you know what? They understood. Paul, how is it? How to say? How many times have you beaten 39 stripes? 40 stripes, say one. Was it three times? 39 stripes and say one. Or it's three times. Right. So he knew what it's like to give his back up. But you know what he said? It's all lost. He said that's better than the comfortable. That's better than the comfortable house of the Pharisee. He said, I'm somewhere giving my back away like my Savior did. I'm with him. Lord, tonight we thank for the Bible. And Lord, I just pray tonight you help us truly be conformed to the image of your Son. Would you give us a vision of yourself? That would truly give us a desire. Would you, Lord, if nothing else happens tonight, would you help those that really know you to get their value from what the price you paid for them? And realize that their life has meaning and worth based on the price paid for their life. And help them stop pursuing any identity other than that comes from you. And Lord, would you help us all to truly look at you and look at your great giving and your great sacrifice for us. And help us to love you enough to where we want to have our life to be like yours. Thank you for the Word of God tonight, Lord. Thank you for the vision of Christ. And thank you for bringing this message through me when my flesh was trying to distract me and trying to cause me to cave in. And Lord, I just thank you for a great day with you. Thank you for all the trials of late. Thank you for all the things that have just been